one body based on Christ only. And why did I say that? Because one of the most devastating things that's been happening right now with the church is the separation. And we have so many different groups. We call ourselves Christians, say we're all in it for Christ. And that's not necessarily so, because these groups have their own agendas. They have different beliefs. And unfortunately, they have different Jesuses. And as Christians, with us not being together, we then start fighting for beliefs and not fighting for Christ. We don't look out for the body. The Bible gives us so much about being one and how that whole entire concept is supposed to work. And unfortunately, we invest more in getting into a group of like-minded. I encourage you, God willing, to listen to the Order of My Steps coming up, because it's going to talk about commonality. And that's one of the main things that's really hurting us, and why it's hurting us, why we're in this position. But as it says, as a review, God made us to be one body, and the body is urged to have perfect unity with no division. And nothing is to divide us. That means neither race, status, culture, location, absolutely nothing. We are called the body. So you can't go that church is this church and that church is that church. Even denomination shouldn't divide us. The thing that deems us exclusively for God and to be one with the body is God's word. So the way we know we're one is we're all doing what the word says and not allowing it to be distorted. And the church's service purpose is to bring the body together as one in Christ. Once again, we got churches doing a whole lot of other things that are great, especially in the world. But Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says the core purpose of the church is to teach the body together, to bring everybody together as one in the knowledge and the faith of Christ Jesus. The church is responsible for eliminating wrong teachings. So the church can't take a teaching to make people feel good. We have to tell when something's wrong, tell when a teacher is wrong. And the minister's main tool must be sound word of God. And when I say sound, not a scripture here and a scripture there, not some book that I read, not some things that I experienced. It has to be based on the sound word, all the scripture collectively coming together, complementing and explaining it in detail. The leading cause of Christians being misled and separated is desire. We do a study every once in a while called Dangers of Desire. I told you when I got hit with that and I preached it the first time, I was excited thinking everybody was going to get it. And it was like, oh, nope, you know, so it kind of went over. And people slowly get it later because we don't realize how dangerous desire is. You know what I mean? And because of desire also, we also tend to tolerate false doctrine. You don't hear as many Christians when we hear stuff going, wait a minute. You know what I mean? We kind of go, yeah, and we kind of move on. And there's a lot of it today. But we kind of hear it, and I see where they're coming from. Oh, it's not in the word. So in order for godly unity to be achieved, there were certain things that had to be in place. First of all, we had to recognize there's only one base, as we've seen in that 1 Corinthians 10. When I say base, understand who Christ is. The Bible, one thing it does, makes clear who Christ is. If it doesn't fit that Christ, it's not Christ. Keep that in mind. Please understand that. And then we got to realize there is only one way and only one truth. And that is Christ also. So if it doesn't go that way, following that answer, then it's wrong also. You understand this? So you got to be careful that, and the Bible is the one that fits all of these things. The Bible gives us that foundation. The Bible gives us that way. The Bible gives us that truth. And we must only depend on the pure word of God. There was a time I did read, you know, multiple books here and there to help add and build up my knowledge. And I'm not gonna lie, sometimes it made you feel important or made you feel smart, you know what I mean, to have that status. I'm well read. But one thing I also realized is being well read can be a distraction, because some of those books have interesting things in it that could take you away from what the Bible says. You can end up grabbing concepts out of these books, adding them to the Bible, and you just took something pure and made it impure. And you're not supposed to do that. The pure word of God. We must stay pure because only those that are pure will see clearly. You hear me go over that verse multiple times because that's what he's talking about. Those who are pure are those who do it strictly based on what the word says. Not, oh, I heard this guy, and because he's this and that, I'm going to follow him. Please don't do that. And that's why I try to always push y'all away. So you never follow me. I want you to hear that you're following the word and you're going to check me. And we are to make every effort to be and stay as one. That's, the Bible makes that very clear. That one big thing we're supposed to do is get us together as one in him. I got to add the in him, because some people see as one as let's all agree to disagree and just come together so we're all friends. And he's not even looking as one in a togetherness in an emotional way. It's a spiritual strength because we form one body. In order to really make this happen, we must also stop partnering with non-Christians. And here's that question. Like I said, that's going to go into detail and order my steps. Why are we allowing our commonality based on the flesh, or to allow the things that make us get with one another, these fleshly things instead of the godly things, if that makes sense? You know what I mean? What we're supposed to be looking at is the godliness, you know, what God is saying. And that's where we last left off. So now, it says, know that those preaching false gospels are eternally in danger. Now, this is another one of those that kind of shows a person, let's say a person is saved, because look what he says here, and be very clear. In Galatians 1, 6 through 9, he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel, which, once again, we see that happening all the time today. They'll hear somebody and they'll hit a nerve. Next thing you know, the person's saying something. You're going, where'd you get that from? Where? Show me in the Bible that. And then they'll distort a word and tell you this really is not this. And you don't read this book and ignore this. And it's so disturbing. And in verse 7, it says, which is really no gospel at all. That's what he's saying. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So this has been from the beginning that this concept has been happening. And this is why we have to first know the word, stay strong in the word. And he says, but even if, now watch what he says, is we are an angel. So he's saying us, him, the apostles and angels from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Now, right there, he's saying, here he is, not only saved, but one of the leaders of the church, he's saying, if I start distorting the gospel, that's hell. And he then repeated it, as we have already said. So now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Now, that's why that's so crucial, even in us. If I don't understand it, I don't get it, back off and get to know it in the word. And be careful with these people that give these changes, and we're going to give these new words that will distort what the gospel is. I heard a minister on a news channel was a couple of years ago, many years ago, actually. I remember he said, man has made the right adjustments to where we can ignore revelation. He was clear as day. And the newscaster was like, oh, I didn't know that. He's like, yeah, absolutely. We don't have to listen to that. He's like, so you're going to see some changes happen. And he's saying all this stuff. I wish I remembered his name, because, you know, we got to warn people of that. But he wrote a book on it. And unfortunately, he had people still following him. You had a ton of people over these past years that gave a whole bunch of false prophecies. And their shows are still thriving because people want to follow and believe wrong stuff. And they're preaching the wrong gospel. And be honest with you, I bet you some don't even know what the gospel is, because they're confused, because they're hearing all these other gospels. So it's important for us to make sure what we're getting taught is directly in God's word. Now, that's, you know, once the main things are in place, what we need to do to stay a body based on Christ, we must. And we got to follow these instructions. First, we are to get and hold to the teachings of Christ to be truly set free. Now, when I say get and hold, once again, you see people lax on going to church, receiving the word, staying in the word, understanding the word. That's the get and holding it. When he says in John 8, 31 through 32, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if, so it's up to you, it's up to me, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So he's saying those who are truly my students are those that hold to my teaching, not those who are here learning from it, but they're the ones that you're going to see living by it and teaching it. He says, then you will know the truth. And then look what happens. The truth will set you free. You have a lot of Christians that are still in bondage because we don't know what the truth is. And we're still, well, what's the meaning of life? And why is this happening to me? And why am I going through this? And I'm not talking about that truth in which you're going to know that definite answer. You're going to understand what the truth is of, I don't care what I'm in, I'm going to glorify him. I mean, the core truth and the core understanding is I'm here to glorify God. You understand that? He saved my life. He gave me the opportunity by, you know, taking me away. I'm taking me from having to be condemned forever, and gave me the gift to allow me to have life eternally with him. You understand that? So whatever place I'm in down here, I do it and live it to glorify him. We still don't get it because you see people still striving to please the flesh, to do what the flesh wants in the name of the flesh. And then we get mad at God when the flesh is not happy. Think about it. Our flesh still runs things. If we look at our lives, what is the main thing that's right? We may pray once in a while. You know, we may do some spiritual things here and there, but the thing that runs our life is our flesh. That's the problem. You understand that? And you will know this if you hold to his teaching. When the word is something that you continually do and you continually follow and you're always doing it, the truth is going to be clear. It won't matter what position you're in at all. And you'll also notice we must responsibly check everything that we are given. When you're done here, you're going to check all this. You're going to check every sermon that I give, every sermon you hear on the radio, everything you check. You're going to check it, and you're going to check it against the word. Why? Because God said so. He says part of God's protection for us is us testing everything. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 22 says test everything. If you heard it in the Greek, it means test everything. And it means that we're going to take everything and we're going to review it to make sure. And then he says, hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. So why are we struggling? Because we're not testing correctly. And so we don't know what is good. We don't know what is evil. Tell me, there are things people are calling good that God's not seeing good. You know that verse where he says some of the things that men highly value are detestable to God. That should blow our minds. But you look around once again, and you'll see that. You'll see some of the things that we call honorable, that we call great. And when you go in the word, you're like, we have no business doing this at all. But we keep doing it because this is what man does. And it's a respectable thing. It goes on also that we must receive the message and check it no matter who it comes from. Acts 17, 11, it says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message, watch this, with great eagerness. This is something that we have to do. In other words, you should be able to hear any minister and get what he's saying. So if it means taking notes, whatever. And I know right now we've been made more lazy because of electronics. There was the time where unless you went to a church and some of them sold you a tape, you know what I mean? You didn't get anything for free. They would sell a tape, but you didn't get it then. You missed it. But the Bereans realized this is my life. They would go to church and they would go, well, y'all got to be quiet, or if you're not quiet, I'm going to be focused because I have to get this. This is my life. And they made sure that the preacher, like it said they received the message with great eagerness, examined the scripture every day. This was serious business to them to see if what Paul said was true.
I have a question.
Yes.
I didn't know they had scriptures of their own.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why. I guess I always thought that just whatever you call them, literature, prophets, whatever is the only one to have, but people had them individually themselves.
In the Old Testament is what you're talking about. The Old Testament, they had to go to scribes and do it. As it became later and when things were able to be printed, even in this time, they did have to go to people that could read it to them. So they were actually, you know, and I was saying to my wife the other day, I remember when we were in school and we had to do a report, we had to catch a bus to the library. Nowadays, you go on the internet, you can do everything you want on the internet. You don't have to do anything. Right there at home, you can do your entire report if you wanted to. So in the same way, they had to go to a group and to go to a scribe for the scribe to now read the scripture to them and search it. They didn't have a concordance like we have. They didn't have, so you are right in that sense that they, when you say they have scripture of their own, they, not only the rich had access to their own scrolls, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they would go to a scribe and the scribe would have to read it to them. And that was the scribe's job, is to read it to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So in that same concept, they were even inconvenienced. They weren't as even inconvenienced as we are, and we still don't do it. We kind of take people's word. If it feels good, we go with it. And they did it, and they did it every day to see if what Paul said was true. Fascinating, but something that's, like I said, it's not followed today. Next, we must test every teacher, making sure they are in line with Christ. When he says in 1 John 4, 1 to 3, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. I told you, my mother-in-law and my grandmother both used to get mad at me because they said I was so skeptical. They would tell me, you know, why are you so skeptical? If they're up there preaching and they're a man of God, and so on and so forth. I'm like, I'm sorry. And that's like I said, it's mine was never to go up there and try to find out if they're wrong. It was to make sure they were not, to make sure that I'm receiving this word. This is too serious for them to get up there and give me some message that I'm supposed to honor them and take a wrong message. And you should say, think the same thing with me. Pastor, don't mess this up. This is my life. And that's what he tells us. He says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Y'all catch that? To see whether they are from God. Now, I know some people say, oh, I hate, you know, feeling like I'm always checking to see if they're, we just read it in three parts where he's saying, I need you to check and overcheck and to make sure. Why? He says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He says, this is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Now we have to understand this word in here. He says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Now, if you just look at that word acknowledge, the Greek word gnosis or knowing is understanding, is assenting, is in agreement with. So in everything that they're teaching is in agreement with Christ coming in the flesh, which is the New Testament. You understand that because he is the word and he showed all that had happened in the word. And he says, then that person is from God. It says, but every spirit that does not acknowledge, because you'll still get those that, well, it really wasn't Jesus. He really wasn't on the cross, or Jesus came from some angel, or it'll make up some other things. And you'll get other things where they'll say, you can use some of the Bible, but you know, you can also use this book, or I get it from the Quran, or I get it from the Book of Mormon, or I get it from this other Bible. Right now, they're not acknowledging him coming in the flesh because they're canceling out what he said. In the flesh, if that makes sense. You understand? So that acknowledgement is an assent. That's what a Greek word means. And he said, so every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Think about the Antichrist. Understand, if you're ignorant enough, and what I mean, when you don't have the knowledge of it, they still speak spiritual. It's just wrong spiritual. Remember, it says Satan comes as an angel of light, right? He masquerades as an angel of light, and he does it to get those who are easily deceived. So you got to know your word. You got to stay in your word. Now, if we are deceived or not is our choice. So be careful, because I know sometimes we like to play the victim and say, you know, I was so confused. I didn't know. And I know that sounds good. I'm easily confused. That's my wife. But that still got to be my fault, especially when it comes to the word. In the world part, I can be easily confused. And that's one thing. But when it comes to God, I got to make sure that's not happening. I check, double check, and check again. You understand? It says we must look at the substance of all messages and doctrine. A substance. This is Colossians 2, verse 8 said, see to it. So this is a command, and he's making an urgency to it to make sure you do this. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through what? Hollow and deceptive philosophy. So I have people that come to me and they give me these doctrines and they'll say things on the surface sounds like, wow, first step, where did you get that from? The minute they don't show me it doesn't come from the word, it's hollow. You get what I'm saying? The substance that has to be filled with is the word. Let me give you the scripture, the sound doctrine. That's what I would hear. It'd have to be solid. You know? And if it's deceptive is where they take the word to twist it. They're lying. You know what I mean? It was, I don't know if you remember, there were certain ministers that were doing these Bible codes, and there are other ones that were doing shapes out of the Bible, in which this word, if you look at this letter, it's shaped like this. And the people used to do that. All that was witchcraft and stuff like that people used to deal with. Don't get caught up in that. You understand that? It's just the word. Read the word. Don't get caught up in all these extra things they try to add in there that they can only decipher, and they tell you these things because those are hollow and deceptive philosophies. He goes on, the way they work, they depend on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. In other words, you'll see them fitting the world's definition of love, the world's definition of faith, the world's definition of peace. And if you're not focused enough, you'll be misled. You will be deceived. But if you get God's definition of all those things, you'll say, that's not love. That's not peace. Think about that. And also be spiritual, or else we will continue on the path of confusion. The whole thing of being spiritual, and like I said, we do fruit or anything that points to spirituality. Every year, is for us to recognize what it means to be spiritual. All of us have access to spirituality or fleshliness, and it's a choice we have to make. It shows us here in 1 Corinthians 3:1-4, it says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. Now, what he shows us here is what we read and what we see in fruit in the reverse. He says, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? You know, when we read about the fruit of the spirit, and it gives us those what the acts of the sinful nature are, and then what the fruit of the spirit is. You know, jealousy falls in there, and you know, and how we are in the factions and the wraths and all that stuff is fitting, because we're still doing stuff that the flesh does and not doing things that the spirit does. It says, are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? We'll fight over who we follow more than we follow the word. I've seen that many times. People will get behind a minister, and man, they'll follow that person. They'll follow a leader, even when that leader is wrong. Now, the Bible calls that a fool. You understand that? It's like, you know, he's not impressed with your loyalty. That loyalty becomes foolish. And we get stuck in that because spirituality will make us go up. Oh, time for me to go. You know, that one verse in Deuteronomy 18 where it says, if a prophet gets one thing wrong, you are no longer to fear him. He's not from God. And when you still get these people that are following these people all over the place, especially when you see them doing these deceptive things. I told you when Benny Hinn himself was caught saying that he faked a lot of the, if not all of his healings on television, and he still had a huge following. You get it, because we get emotionally attached with this emotional hope, and it's so dangerous how that happens. And do not add to God's word or accept anyone who does. Very clear on that. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:6, he can't make it any clearer than this. Watch what he says. And he says, now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying. What he's saying is, we in our ministry, this is all we're going to do. What? Do not go beyond what is written. Can it be any clearer than that? So when you get somebody that says, and the Bible says this, but what? Let me show you what this book said. And this person said that they heard from God, and God told them this extra stuff to add on to this. And now this is going to happen. We're like, oh, isn't that deep? Next thing you know, now we're taken away. Instead of going, I hear you. Sounds great. Interesting. Whatever. And I'm just following what the word says. You understand it? Do not go beyond what's written. He says, then you will not take pride in one man over against another. What he's saying is, you won't get caught up in following the wrong people. You're just following the word. I'm hoping at FSG, they're following the word. And then they hold me to make sure I'm giving the word. You know, I'm just the delivery man, to where if something happened to me, what you would be looking for is somebody giving the word. Because you have some people that follow people. And the minute something happens to that person, they're lost souls. You understand? Or they keep following a person even when they're not giving the word. Because once again, they're following that person. It also shows in 2 John 9-11, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. What does he mean when he says run ahead? With the word in that, it means exactly that, running, continually going. So the Bible stops here, and this is what we have, and now I'm still, and another thing, and he said he's going to do a new thing, and he's going to add another thing. We use scripture wrong, and we start adding stuff in it. He was like, if you see a person doing that, where they have the Bible, they'll preach the Bible, but they preach this other stuff. He was like, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. This is part of the fruit we get to understand. Anyone who comes to you and does not bring this teaching, just the word, he says, watch this, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. So they're bringing, this is another one of those disassociations of your, if you support them in their wrong teaching, you're now as guilty by association in that wrong teaching. Does that make sense? So we got to watch these things. See, this, if we followed the rules and the protection that he gave us, we wouldn't be as separate as we are. And then we have to follow Jesus as our example of obedience. John 14:31 says, the world must learn, and watch what Jesus says, that I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And what he's showing us there is, when he says I do exactly, it means I'm reading the word in order to do it. period. You'll hear people that'll go, I read it and I'm working on it because I'm trying to understand it. Have you ever heard people say that? Not, I mean, in fact, some of us are probably guilty of saying that, in which I read it, but I can't wrap my head around it. What you're basically saying to God is, until I understand it, I'm not doing it. But I read it. Give me my credit. No. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, means all I need to understand is what he said. Right? He tell me to go left, I'm going left. Even though by sight, it makes no sense. My faith is, he told me to go left. That's where I'm going. And we follow him, and I'm doing exactly what he tells me. All I want to understand is what he's telling me, not trying to understand it based on how I see it. Last two, we must choose the correct life purpose and life path. When he says in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, enter through the narrow gate, he first starts off with the answer. And why did he start off with the answer? Because if you look around, we still like variety. And that's what he's saying people are going to chase after. He says, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. He already let you know that. So a person who wants his Christ and his cake and whatever and eat it too. I want it all. I still want to be a Christian, but man, I want to live like the world. And many think that's what they're getting away with. I'm getting the best of both worlds. Okay. That's what he's saying. He was like, that leads to destruction because you think my road is wide, it's broad. I just have access to everything. So I'm a Christian and you can't do both. But some are deceived thinking they are and that they can. He says, and many enter through it. There are many to this day who say they're Christian and they're living whatever life, and they just think I got the best of both worlds. He says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. There's going to be limitations. There are going to be just a path, a answer, a way, one door. And yeah, it's going to eliminate things out your life. And yeah, you got to keep your focus on him. And yeah, he has to be the purpose. That's why he says only if you find it. Think about it. Because a lot of us have things that are very important to us in our lives, not realizing those things are competing with Christ. Even some of the most noble things, it could be our kids, it could be our careers, it could be our marriages, it could be our health, whatever it is, we're letting it compete with Christ. That means we're in the broad. Finally, in order for us to truly become one, we must remove personal desire and views as motivation. Okay, when he says in Philippians 2, 2 through 4, to make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, you see what I'm saying? So you see, this is what we're supposed to be, like-minded. We're all supposed to think the same. And some of you go, how are we supposed to do that? Because the reason why we all think different now is because what influenced our thinking is not God, it's our flesh. Think about that. Think about that. You know what I mean? The reason why we look at things different is because we're looking by sight and not by faith. If we just allow Christ, we'd all have the same mind because it'd be the mind of Christ. We all have the same love because there's only one love. That's Christ. We'd have the one spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, which is Christ. And we'd only have one purpose, and that's glorifying God. And it says, and then do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So there'll be nothing we do based on us and how we see it. Absolutely nothing, but in humility, realizing that it's by grace I don't deserve to be where I'm at, for him to even give me this opportunity, consider others better than yourselves. Always looking out for others. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Look around, pray about this, because this is one of the hardest things right now is the separation of the church. How the church is so siloed and in their own little cliques, and they might act like it's a good thing and everybody has their own thing, but look at what brings the groups together. It's not Christ. It's their fleshly commonalities. In reality, we're separate. And that's dangerous. You really need to pray about that. Any questions? Amen. All right. Well, praise God. Hopefully you're blessed by this study. I'm sure you're going to go check it. As much as I keep beating that in there, make sure you check it. Make sure everything's right and in line with it, with what God's word says and what you've been reading. And if not, bring it back and we'll check it and we talk about it. But whatever part you can do in order to follow what God is saying on this coming together, be careful that you're not part of the problem, that you're not doing one of these things and you're causing the separations. It has to be about Christ. It has to be us coming together as one body. So let's pray about that and make sure that we're not part of the problem, but we're definitely part of the solution. Amen. All right. Praise God. So we will pray out, and God willing, I will talk to you guys on Sunday. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Once again, thank you for this opportunity to come together, dear God, and just to study and understand your word. So give us more clarity. And we are praying for this body, dear Lord, as we have allowed it to separate. We've allowed it by us chasing after the things that we want for our own desires. We ask for your forgiveness, and we ask for your guidance. We ask you to help us, dear Lord, to know and to do what we need to do, dear Lord, that we can be the healing part of this body. We know the time is getting short, so help us to minister in the right way, to have the mind of you, and for us to always focus through you in everything that we do. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. We ask for blessings on those who are in the hospital, those who are struggling, those who are sick, those who are shut in, dear Lord, those who are just struggling in life overall, dear God. We just ask you to bless them to you, to help them not to look at their situation, but to keep focused on you, dear God, the true peace and the true comfort. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say.
Amen. Amen.